بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Before beginning, inshallah, I would just like to share with you brothers an incident that happened during the time of our beloved and blessed Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And it's one of those issues that unfortunately many people look at as being a small thing. It's because of the times that we're living in, unfortunately, are unlike the times of the people who went before us, and that we don't put as much emphasis on the things that they put emphasis on. And as a result of that, we have the folda in this community that we see in front of us, the confusion. And that is, one time our Prophet Abu Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was traveling on an expedition with some of his companions. And in that traveling, when they wanted to stop to take some rest, some of his companions went off to the right, and some of the companions went off to rest to the left, and some of them proceeded to the front, and some of them went behind from where they came. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognized this, he asked them and he said, Mali arakum aizin. Mali arakum aizin. He said, what is this that I see from you people, his companions, that you are divided amongst yourselves? That some of you are to the right and some of you are to the left, and some in the front and some in the back. And he went on to describe that condition by saying, Inna tafarrukukum hada min ash-shaytan. Verily, this division of you people is from the shaytan. And we know that these companions were a group of people who loved one another for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we're going to see when we come to that in the talk, inshallah. The point is, one of the fa'ida, or the benefits that we get from this hadith and this incident, is the fact that it is from the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whenever we come together, whenever it's possible, we should come together in our body, and more so in the masjid. We do not find the people of the past, the sahabas and the tabi'een, the people who came after them, except that whenever the Prophet wanted to talk to them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we didn't have people who were way in the back leaning against the wall, or way to the side leaning against the wall. Because verily, verily, if we truly want unity, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunnah, in it, there are some jewels by which if we practice those things, wallahi, we won't be divided. People call for unity, 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 but when we look at our actions, like rejecting these hadith, like when we come together, people coming together and not letting there be any spaces between us, will bring unity amongst us. Like straightening out the rows, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, before starting the salah, لَتَسُوُّنَّ سَفُوفَكُمْ أَوْ لَيُخَالِفَنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. If you don't straighten out your roles, there's going to be some differences in your heart. There's going to be some ikhtilaf in your heart. So, in reality, ikhwan, if we truly want unity, then these are some of the ways that we can show that. By when we come together, practicing these sunnahs of bringing our bodies together. After that, in explaining to you, brothers, this issue, so that the responsibility will be off of my shoulder, let him who follows it, let him reject it if he wants to reject it. As the brother Abu Fudayl, Allah Yahfidhu, has explained to you, brothers, we've come to you today to talk about an extremely important issue. An issue that if the Muslim, whether he's a revert to al-Islam or he's a person who had his nash'ah on al-Islam, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him this tawfiq and this bad and this particular thing, verily is going to come Yom Al-Qiyamah from the Faizin, those people who are successful. It's just unfortunate that I was hoping many of the brothers were going to come prepared to take some notes, because we have a lot of talks going on all over the country. There are a lot of tapes being circulated all over the country. There are a lot of books that have been written and printed, and they are circulating all over the country, but we are still finding ourselves in the same rut. So, blessed is he who understands that we shouldn't come to these talks to be entertained, but we should come prepared to get some information so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will bless us. So since many of you do not have pens and papers, we hope that you really concentrate so that if you leave the talk today, if someone said to you, Akhi, what was the talk about? You will be in a position to say it was about this, and the proof of it is that and that and that, as opposed to just being a person who just came to be entertained. After that, I would like to remind you, brothers, before talking about a very important issue, and that is the role that your niyyah plays in your sitting here. No doubt, one of the best forms of ibadah in al-Islam is for you to come out to try to seek some knowledge. That is one of the best forms of ibadah. But if, as you all know, your niyyah isn't correct, you will not get blessed for your effort. So there may be from amongst us those of you who left your homes today to come to criticize, to wait for a mistake to be made, so that you can pounce upon the opportunity to try to make someone look as if he's jahil. There may be those of you who have come just to see which sisters are going to show up so that you can have an opportunity to seek her hand for marriage. There may be those of you who just came so that it can be said so-and-so is a talib al-ilm. He goes to the lesson. How many of us before coming out, we made our niyyah lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we can get blessed in the effort? This doesn't only concern this talk, ikhwan, but this is for the future. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala asks a question that does not deserve an answer when he says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنْ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who is better than the one who calls to Allah, who calls to al-Islam, who teaches the people? We understand that based upon this ayat, the best speech is to call people to al-Islam. The people who took care of that responsibility were the prophets and the Anbiya and the Rasul. So they are the best of the people, and their job is the best job. Irregardless of who's amongst us, doctors, lawyers, whatever, the best job for the human being is the job of giving da'wah, calling Allah's creation to al-Hidayah. So with that being the case, ikhwan, anything concerning the da'wah, whether you're giving it or receiving it, in order to be of the people who will be blessed, purify your niyyah. Don't be of the people who want to criticize. Don't be of the people who come and they get no benefit whatsoever because their niyyah was not intact. After this, ikhwan, I share with you a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمَّمْ مَكَارِمْ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Verily I have been sent so as to perfect the good character. For those of you who see the need right now to study Arabic, whether you're an Arab or an Ajin, there's a pressing need for every Muslim to study the Arabic language. Unfortunately, many brothers have not taken care of this responsibility. If you want to read the Quran properly and memorize the Quran easier, you have to study the language. So don't think because you are a new Muslim that you're not supposed to study Arabic. And don't think because you're an Arab and it's your language that you're not supposed to study Arabic. In this ayah, it shows us the importance of the language, this hadith, and that the Prophet ﷺ used what's known as adat al-hasr. When he said, innama, this thing, innama, means whatever the thing that's being talked about is solely and specifically for that. Adat al-hasr. That this innama, and we understand the Prophet said, verily I was sent to complete the perfect character. To complete the character as if his whole mission was to give people good akhlaq. That's what you understand from that hadith. That his whole mission was to call the people to perfect character. Don't let someone misunderstand and say, but what about the tawheed? And what about the aqeedah? Now, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn and the mankind except to worship me. We understand that. But the good and correct aqidah necessitates good akhlaq. If you understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, when you have a problem, you turn to Allah. When you understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, all-seeing, you do not allow yourself to be found in the place where Allah said it's haram for you to be there. For an example, at your home during the time of Jummah, or at your job during the time of Jummah, because you know Allah is al-basir and He sees you. If you know that Allah is al-samir, then it necessitates, as a result of that, you're not going to backbite people, you're not going to lie, you're not going to slander. So the akhlaq and the aqidah are intertwined and they're connected. They're intertwined and they're connected. So the point is, when the Prophet ﷺ said, verily I have been sent to complete this character, innama adat al-habr, is as if his old mission was to complete this character. When we look at the Quran and we look at the authentic sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't have to look far to see the emphasis that al-Islam places upon good character. When the Prophet was asked sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, ayyul imani afdal, O Messenger of Allah, which iman is the best iman? He said husnu khuluq, good character. The Prophet ﷺ said in another authentic hadith, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ. There is nothing more weightier, more heavier in the scales. What scales? The scales of the people? The scales of a shaitan? Nah, the scales of ar-Rahman. There is nothing more weightier in the scales than good character. There is nothing more weightier in the scales than good character. You don't have to look far. So now the question is, how do we go about purifying and perfecting this character? First of all, ikhwah, we need to understand that the Abdullah and Amatullah can receive this good character in one of two ways. The first way is that it becomes a mohiba. That's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mohiba, from the word wahab. Allah is a wahab. What does wahab mean? The bestower. He's the one who gives. He's the one who gives you your money. He gives you your risk. He gives you good health. He gives you guidance. He is al-wahab. So the good character can be given to a person. Without that person really not exemplifying, he's not really exerting a lot of effort. And this happens with all of the prophets and with only a few of the regular people. All of the prophets have been given it, but only a few of the people. When we look in the room, the majority of us have not been gifted with this mohiba. And the proof that people get it like this, the regular people, is the fact that I'm sure all of you can attest to the fact that in Jahiliyyah, before al-Islam, many of you know people who in Jahiliyyah had good character. And they're kuffar. But if they gave you their word, they stuck to their word. They made a promise, they stuck to their promise. If you had some trouble or some problems, you can depend upon them. How many of our grandmothers and grandfathers, after 50 and 60 years of being married, they got off the boat from Jamaica and they're here right now, and they're still happily married on that kufr that they had? And the grandmother is not a zaniya. She's not a woman who made zina. And the grandfather is not a man who used to go out looking for women. They had good character. The proof that a person can have good character and be a kafir, based upon the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, "الناس كمعادن خيرهم في الجاهلية خيرهم في الإسلام بشرط إذا تفقهوا في الدين." The people are like metal. The best of them in Jahiliyyah are the best of them in Islam, if they understand the religion. Abu Bakr was a good man in Jahiliyyah. Umar was a good man in Jahiliyyah. Uthman, a good man. Ali, a good man. When the man comes to al-Islam, Islam doesn't do anything except enhance his character. As for the prophets, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as has been collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, ما هممت بأمور الجاهلية إلا مرتين. I never desired to do anything from the affairs of the times of Jahiliyyah except twice. He said the first time that he wanted to do something from the times of Jahiliyyah was when he was a young boy with the other young boys of Quraysh. And there was a party going on, a wedding going on. And the music was coming out of the house. When him and his companions heard the music, they ran to the place to partake in the festivities. Except the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a desire to go, but he felt that he was tired. And he sat down and he went to sleep. And he said he didn't wake up until the sun woke him up the next day. The other incident is when the young men of Quraysh were building the Kaaba, or rebuilding the Kaaba. And because of the extreme heat, they used to pick up their izar and put it on their shoulder and then put the brick on their shoulder to carry it. But the Prophet ﷺ, being a person who had good character in Jahiliyyah, didn't want his aura to be exposed. In Jahiliyyah, he didn't want his aura to be exposed. So his uncle, Abdul Muttalib, said to him, his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, said to him, lift up your izar like the rest of the boys and do your work. It'll be easier for you. He was finding difficulty. The Prophet ﷺ said when he did that, he was caused to faint. Sahih Bukhari. The hadith said after that point, his aura was never seen in public after that, in Jahiliyyah, because the prophets are given good character. How can they not have good character when they're going to come to the people to call into Al-Islam? The first thing the person is going to say, we remember you used to drink. We remember you used to lie. When Musa came to Fir'aun, after being guided to Al-Islam, the first thing the people said to Musa, brother, you killed the man from us before. So in order for these people not to have an argument against the Prophet, they had good character. So that's the first way, al-mohiba. The second way that a person gets good character, and this is what pertains to us, is that he has to struggle for it. And he has to develop it. Because he doesn't have it. When we look at ourselves, we'll find there are those of us who are stingy. There are those of us who are wives, have come into Al-Islam and they've dressed properly and they've had the same khimara and the same ibaya on for 2 years now, the same pair of shoes for 3 years, and she's been asking you for 3 years to buy me another ibaya, but you refuse to do so because you're stingy, bakhil. There are those of us who cannot control our mouths. We're always backbiting and talking about affairs that don't concern us. There are those of us who are liars, kadabun. Every time we go to the brother and we want to get a riwayah from him, a narration, we find after taking it and going to the people we're concerned, the man has lied, kadab. He's not a regular liar, he's a habitual liar, kadab, sigha mubalagha. There are those of us who are tyrannical to our wives, to our children. There are those of us who don't respect people of knowledge. Terrible character trait. Who don't respect the elders from the community. So, what does this person do in order to develop his character? What does the Quran and the Sunnah show and say to him so that he can perfect his character? We're going to share that with you now. But let it be known, of course, the time does not allow us to deal with everything, so we're only going to deal with 3 points today. But we want you brothers to pay attention and to concentrate. First of all, ikhwan, if a person wants to correct his character and to perfect it, the very first thing that he has to do is have the i'tiqad that his character can be changed. He has to have the belief, number one, he has to have the belief in his heart that his character can be changed. Because without the belief, you're going to have a problem that's going to persist. It's like any abuser of narcotics, anyone who is addicted to smoking cigarettes, and wallahi, cigarette smoking is haram. By the Quran and the Sunnah, haram. Nobody smokes cigarettes except a person who is zalim li nafsi, wa dha'if fi nafsi. cigarette smoking is haram. A person who abuses narcotics, the same thing. A person who's addicted to music, same problem. Until he says, I have a problem, he'll never change his problem. How many people do we see alcoholics? People who we know from the times of Jahiliyyah. And we come to them and we say to them, look, this crack is not good for you. He says to you, I can stop smoking whenever I want. I can put down the wine whenever I want. The cigarette smoker from amongst the Muslims, we hear this all the time. We just finished Ramadan 2 months ago. Then why didn't you stop smoking? Why are you still smoking in Dhul-Qa'dah? In Dhul-Hijjah, you're still smoking. 3 months after Ramadan, you're still smoking. So the person has to have the i'tiqad, the belief that he can change his character. And this concept, or this mentality, as they say in Arabic, they have a method. Or, yes, they have a method. Where they say, من شبع على شيء شبع عليه. Very common statement. Whoever does something as a youth and he grows up on that thing, it's hard for him to change it. So if he's been a person who is stingy all his life, as he grows up, when he becomes 40 and 50, 30, 35, he uses this as an argument to say he can't change his character. He can't change the fact that he becomes angry at the smallest thing. And when he becomes angry, you find him saying, "Anti Talika," the third time. "Anti Talika." If you leave this door, "Anti Talika." Four babies between themselves. And it's the third time. Anger. We have this saying in English as well, where they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Let it be known, Ikhwan, that this argument is baatil. And it's not from Islam. Islam rejects it. The Quran rejects it. The Sunnah rejects it. And the rationale rejects it. The proof that the Quran rejects, you can't teach a dog, an old dog new tricks, is the saying in the Quran, "La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha." Allah does not burden the soul beyond its scope, beyond its ability. Before telling and showing you brothers how this ayat rejects that statement, just let me clarify something, because many of us, we use this ayat for wrong reasons. When the sister comes into Islam and she's told she has to obey her husband, or she's told that she has to put the proper hijab on, nothing should be seen from her except her face and her hand. When the brother is told that he has to leave his beard, or that he has to go to Jummah and leave off his job, he says, when he doesn't do that, or she doesn't do that, Allah doesn't burden his soul beyond his ability. That's not the meaning of that hadith, the ayah. That's not the meaning of the ayah. The meaning of the ayah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not order you to do something that's beyond your ability in general. So let us stop using the Quran and the Sunnah to play games. To play games. The reason why this ayah shows that the understanding you can't teach an old dog new tricks is wrong is because when we look at the Quran and we look at the Sunnah, it becomes clear to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endeared to himself good character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam Abu Bakr al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah ta'ala, "Inna Allah yuhibbu ma'ali al-akhlaq wa yabghadu as-safsafaha." Verily Allah loves those higher levels of character and he hates the lower level of character. So many hadith and ayat tell us that Allah loves and is endeared to him good character. So when he orders you to have good character, it's within your ability to have good character. Or he wouldn't have ordered you to do it in the first place. If it was beyond your scope and your ability, he wouldn't have ordered you to do it. As for the Sunnah, the proof that this understanding is incorrect, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that's been collected by Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi. When the Prophet ﷺ said, "إنما العلم بالتعلم وإنما الحلم بالتحلم ومن يتحرى الخير يعطى ومن يتحرى الشر يوقع." Verily, knowledge is by going out to get it. You're not going to sit in the privacy of your home, in the comfort of your home, watching TV, thinking you're going to get knowledge and educated in the deen. Not until you put the effort forth, Ya Abdullah, are you going to get educated. Be like those people who want to sit and don't make any effort. And every time Dick and Harry, who comes with a new dawah, you're going to be out beyond his coattails following him to the hellfire, harming yourself and other people because you have no knowledge. Verily, knowledge is by gaining it, going out for it, struggling for it. And the tahallum and the hilm is with a tahallum. Al hilm, from this word comes halim, to be kind. Verily, kindness comes by making yourself kind. You want to be kind? You're a person who has a heart. That's hard. You're a person who we were describing with your wife. With your friends, you're nice, like a rabbit. And with your wife, you're like an asad, a lion. And you realize you have a problem. This hilm, it comes by practicing it and developing it. The Prophet said, verily, he who wants good, he will be given. And he who wants evil, he will fall into that. He will be given that. So this hadith clearly shows us that you can teach an old dog new tricks. Because if the man has a heart that's faulty, or he does not have this hilm, or he doesn't have knowledge, he's jahil, all he has to do is make a ta'allum. All he has to do is make a ta'allum, and he'll be given that. As for the rationale to prove that you cannot hold this argument, Ya Abdullah, I've been doing this all my life. I'm 40 years old, I'm 50 years old. I can't change it. The rationale that shows this is wrong is the fact that, as you all know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the tasghir and everything in this dunya for Bani Adam. He has given us authority over everything in the dunya. He says in the Quran, as in Surah Al-Baqarah, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. It is He, Allah, who has made for you everything that's in the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given these human beings power over the elephant. We see in the circus, the elephant in a cage, jumping from chair to chair with a ball on his trunk. A lion, a man puts his face in the lion's mouth. They have trained snakes, every single animal, even a whale in the ocean, they've trained it. And the natural disposition of these animals is to be wild. So, if their character can be changed to become tamed, why can't you, old dog? Why can't your character change? This is an argument that's rejected by al-Islam. So the first thing that the Abdullah has to do, if he wants to change his character, is he has to have the belief that it can be changed. And the second thing, Ikhwan, that you have to do, if you want your character to be changed, is you have to make the tahdeed of your ayub. You have to identify and classify what are the character traits that you have that are not good. You have to sit down and say, I'm a stingy person. The sister has to say to herself, I'm a person who's following my own nafs. If Islam goes against my nafs, I'll reject it. The sister has to say, I'm a person who's extremely emotional. This mind and this aql that Allah has blessed me with, I don't use it when things come to me. I fly off the handle. The second thing that you do is you sit down and you characterize and identify what are your character flaws. That's the second thing. How do we do that? We can do that in a number of ways. But we're only going to mention three very important ways. Now don't get mixed up. We're talking about now, how do you identify your character flaws? The first thing that you're encouraged to do, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, is that you take yourself a sheikh, a learned person in this religion, who knows about al-Islam, and he has some basira, and he has some fahm, and he has some taqwa. But you have to have some diraya. You have to have some knowledge about how the sahabas were with their big sheikh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if you don't, akhi, you're going to run the risk of thinking the sheikh knows the unseen. You're going to think that the sheikh is a person that, if he's all the way in America, you're afraid to speak ill of him because you think he knows what's in your heart. Jahil,
If it's not from Al-Islam, Ya Ahlil Kitab, La Takhlu Fi Deenikum. Oh, people of the book, don't have this ghulu. Don't go overboard. Muhammad is only a man. Muhammad is only a man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bashar. You have to have some understanding of how the ulama were in the past. You take that sheikh, so that the sheikh can say to you, Ya Abdullah, you have this character flaw. You know, Abu Dharr, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, tremendous companion. Abu Dharr. One time Abu Dharr said to Bilal ibn Rabah, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. There was some problem between them. Abu Dharr, the Arabi asil, he said to Bilal, who was a former slave, Ajami, Habashi, he said, Ya ibn imra'at al-sawda, oh son of a black woman, that would be synonymous today with you nigger, like it or not, in a negative derogatory sense. Bilal didn't take the munkar and throw the munkar back at the man. Nah, hada akhu, who deserves to be respected. Bilal didn't become muta'al. He didn't say, I preceded you in al-Islam, I'm the muazzin, I have more fadl than you. Nah. La tazakku anfusakum. Don't think you're better than someone else. Stop. He went to the revelation. You have a problem with your brother? Take it to the kitab and take it to the sunnah. Don't take it within your own hand. Abu Dharr said that statement, so Bilal went to who? The sheikh. Ya Rasulullah. Abu Dharr said to me, oh, son of a black woman. The sheikh, who's the teacher of this one and that one, said, Abu Dharr, come here. Did you say that? Because he can't make a judgment until he hears both sides of the story. Not like you are. He said, yes, I said it, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet said, the sheikh said to the student, إِنَّكَ مْرِئٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ. Verily, you're a person who has some jahiliyyah in you. When the student who loves the sheikh and respects the sheikh for his knowledge and taqwa and closeness to Allah hears that, he feels bad. My sheikh then identified for me my age. What did Abu Dharr do? He went, he put his face on the ground, and he said to Abu Dubilal, put your foot on my face, a sign of dishonorment to the ass of that time. Bilal said, Ma kuntu أضع قدمي على وجه سجد لله سجدة. I will never put my foot on the face of a person who made sajda to Allah. But you see how the criticism of the sheikh made the student rectify the problem, change his aid. Abdullah ibn Umar, and you know, ma adraku man Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar, subhanAllah, what we wouldn't give to be like him. Abdullah ibn Umar had an open door policy with the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's his brother-in-law. The Prophet is married to Hafsa, bint Umar al-Faruq, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So the Prophet said to his sister, our mother, Inna akhaka Abdullah la-rajul, la-ni'ma al-rajul, illa annahu taraka al-salah. Verily your brother Abdullah is a good man, except that he left salah. Which salah, akhi? Was he talking about fajr? Some of us never make fajr except after the tulu' al-shams. And you're going to talk to me about, let's go fight the kuffar? Some of us don't make fajr every day consistently except after the sun comes up. He's a good man, except that he left salah. What salah? At-tahajjud. It was common for us, the Sahaba, to make a tahajjud. This is common, adi. The man who doesn't make tahajjud, he's the one who's sincere. He's a good man, except that he left salah. Tahajjud. When this information came to Abdullah from his sister, he said after hearing that, وَمَا تَرَكْتُهَا بَعْدَهَا قَفْ I never left the salat after hearing that from the Prophet ever. The Shaykh identified his problem. Do you brothers read the Quran? Did you read Surah Luqman for those brothers who are married? Did you read what Luqman said to his son? Did you see what the Shaykh said to his son, to the student? Instead of giving your sons to Snoop Doggy Dogg and to that reggae music, teach him about Islam. Give him some nasiha. Did you see the nasiha? Did you see the nasiha of Khidr to Musa? إِنَّكَ لَمْ تَفْتَطِي مَعِي صَبْرًا. You're not going to be able to be patient with me, Musa. So the man takes a sheikh so that the sheikh can guide him to Al-Islam. And subhanAllah al-Azim, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has shown his favor on the brothers of this community, Birmingham. You have that brother Abu Anas, who is a talib al-ilm haqqan. Ali Hassan al-Halabi, and it's sad, that when you make names and you mention names, it develops in the hearts of certain people hatred and stuff. And the person may be a person who never read anything of this person. And do we think that people don't make mistakes? Wallahi, Abu Bakr made mistakes. Uthman and Umar and Ali made mistakes. Rabbi Allahu ta'ala anhu. So everyone who's coming after them are going to make mistakes. Ali Hassan al-Halabi, when he came here this last time, he said to us, to the brothers who picked him up at the airport, this Abu Anas, Abdu alayhi binawajid, hold on to him with your molars. Now, but we have brothers, unfortunately, because they have a program, they say, maybe he's a government this, maybe he's a government that, because he's from this part of the world, he's this, he's that, and making themselves locked out of the fa'idah. They take one another, shabab. Some don't even have lihyas yet. Fingernails just started growing. So they're the shayukh, one to another. Haram alayki ya Abdullah. This is from the talbis of Iblis, ya akhi wallahi. The second way that you can identify your aib or your shortcoming or your character flaw is by taking a sadiq. Lillah. Take yourself a sahib, a rafiq, a sadiq for Allah. You know the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Mu'min, Mar'atul Mu'min. The believer is a mirror for a believer. So when you take this brother as your companion, as your friend, if you took him for Allah's sake, as the Prophet ﷺ said, Man ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah wa a'ta lillah wa mana'a lillah faqad istakmala imanuhu. Whoever loves for Allah and he hates for Allah, he gives for Allah and he prevents from giving for Allah, his iman is complete. So I took the brother as my friend for Allah's sake. I love him for Allah. He comes to get me in the morning to make fajr. When he doesn't see me a day or two, he's calling me on the phone, what's the problem, akhi? If he knows that I'm going to press it to my wife, he comes and he steps in. He doesn't turn a blind eye. When you take this friend, he becomes your mirror. He says to you, subhanAllah, you have this problem there. And what's the natural response of a man who someone comes and he tells him something like that? It should be, thank you, mashallah, barakallahu fi. Our response is what? When the brother says, akhi, you have this problem, this fault. The first thing God we say is, what, you think you're an angel? You don't have no problem? I know you did something else too. That's our response. You want to see how the Salaf were in this bab, in this chapter? Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. Hudhayfa is someone who is known as Sahib al-Sir, the possessor of the secret. He was the one that the Prophet ﷺ told the secrets of who were the munafiqeen. He told him the names of all of the munafiqeen of Medina. But he didn't allow Hudhayfa to tell the people. So when the Prophet died, Al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Hudhayfa. He said, Ya Hudhayfa, hal sammani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min dhimn al-munafiqeen. He came to his companion, his friend, Umar, came to Hudhayfa and said, oh my friend, did the Prophet name me from the people or from the munafiqeen? Tell me about my shortcomings. Was I named?
says, his brother,
for Allah, in Allah, give me my phone, tell me. Hudhayfa said to him, لا ووالله لا أزكي بعدك على الله أحدا. He didn't name you, and I'm not going to tell anyone else after you. Anyone else come to me to ask me, I'm not going to tell them whether he named him or he didn't name him. This is how it is, akhi. This is how it is. The friend should be with his brother.
You know that the Prophet ﷺ ordered you brothers when he said,
لا تصاحب إلا مؤمن ولا يأكل طعامك إلا متقي.
He ordered you this. He ordered you.
He said, do not take as a companion except a believer. And do not let anyone eat your food except a muttaqi, a person who has taqwa. Why did he order you to take as a companion a mu'min?
You know that the Prophet ﷺ ordered you brothers when he said,
لا تصاحب إلا مؤمن ولا يأكل طعامك إلا متقي.
He ordered you this. He ordered you.
He said, do not take as a companion except a believer. And do not let anyone eat your food except a muttaqi, a person who has taqwa. Why did he order you to take as a companion a mu'min? As he said in another hadith, Al-mar'u ala din khalili, فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ لِمَنْ يُخَالِلْ.
The man is on the deen of his friend. So let each and every one of you look at the one he takes as a friend.
You don't have to live hard. You want to know about a man, ask about who is he with. Is he with people who are still hanging out partying? Then more than likely he's going to be of that type of behavior. Is he with people who have just come into Islam, still smoking, draw? Then more than likely he's with those people. That's what he's doing. Not all the time. Look at the man and you'll be able to distinguish. You'll be able to tell. The man is on the religion of his friend.
And as the Prophet said to the man who came to him, when the man told him, I haven't done a lot of salat, I haven't done a lot of fasting, I haven't given a lot of zakat or much of Allah, but I love Allah and His Messenger. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-mar'u ma man
ahabba. The man will be with the one who he loves. Those who you love, your people, those kuffar, your people, who you're willing to give your life for, the liberation of your kuffar people, over the Muslims, you'll be with those people. Jahiliyyah. Dawat al-Jahiliyyah.
So the man takes a friend. Thirdly, if you want to identify your uyub, your character flaws, all you have to do, Ya Abdullah, is go and find out what your enemies are saying about you. And everyone has an enemy. Unfortunately, it was a time when the enemy to the Muslim was the kafir. There was a time in this ummah, you used to be Abdullah. Kunta anta Abdullah. Wal ard haqqu lillah. Tamshi fiha haythu ma shi't. La tus'al. Hakadha kana al-amr. Anta Abdullah. والأرض حق لله. This is how it used to be. Now the enemy is not from without. The Muslims are enemies one to another. This small room, I've never been here before, but wallahi, may my mother and father be sacrificed, I know that there are Muslims in this room who have enmity towards one another.
Shaytan. And if you sat down to find out what's the problem, everybody is bound enough. That's all. Same ilah, same kitab, same qibla, same salah, same rasul, same da'wah. Al-Islam. A'udhu billah. That's Allah al-Afna. All you have to do, Abdullah, is listen to the statements of your enemy. They, more than anyone else, want to put your aids out. They want everyone to know, this brother has a problem in this and that. So what you do is, you listen to what they have to say. Their criticism. If you find what they're saying is true, change it. Don't be like the person who thinks, Ana Sadiq Jibril. وأنتم أصدقاء إبليس. أنا ولي من أولياء الله وأنتم أولياء الشيطان. أنا في الجنة وأنتم في النار. ما هكذا يا عبد الله. Don't be like that person. Wallahi. Don't be like the one who thinks I'm always on the hak, I'm always right, everyone else is wrong. Everyone else is wrong and you're right, yahi. Listen to what they're saying. And then, again, if you find what they're saying has some validity to it, then you take it and you correct yourself. You take it and you apply it and you change yourself. Oh, that brother is arrogant. He comes off very, very arrogant. And I hear everyone saying it. I have to make a different approach. That brother, you can't approach him. That brother, his word is kalima la kalima lahu. He has no word. Can't believe him. So, we discussed two ways that you begin to change your character. The first way is you have to believe you can do it. The second way is you have to make the tahdeed or identify what are your problems, and you identify them with one of those three ways. Take the sheikh, take the friend, listen to the kalam or the speech of your enemy. Lastly, today anyway, inshallah, if you want to go about correcting your problems, ya akhi, ikhwani, wa ana sadiqun lakum. I'm that brother, I don't know many of you. So what happens is when a Muslim first comes together with his brother, for the first time, he has to have what's known as husn al-dhan, a good opinion. I think that the brother prays in the masjid. I think that the brother's good to his wife. I think that the brother's generous. If not, as soon as I see him, and maybe he's cutting his beard, which is haram, and from the major sin. When I first see him, I shouldn't think, oh, this brother is not practicing any Islam. Or he comes and he has a turban. He says, oh, he's from Jamaat of this and this and that. Nah, you have to have a good opinion about your brother until he shows you otherwise. هذا هو الإسلام. This is Islam. ولكن صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you want to change your heat, what you have to do, and this is very hard, but wallahi, I want you brothers to try this starting today. That is, whatever that character flaw that you have is, even though you know inside your heart, you're a person who is stingy, أنت بخيل. You're a stingy person. Or you're a shahih, even worse than stingy. Not only are you stingy in that you don't want to give what you have, but you don't want anyone else to have what you have. أنت شهيح. You know that this is in you. You've identified the problem. If you want to change it, even though it's not in your heart, force yourself to give. Even though it's not in your heart. Even though it's not in your heart. Sometimes, we have four brothers in the car. We pull up to the filling station. One of the brothers gets out of the car and he goes and he buys some potato chips, crisp, a juice. And he comes back to the car. And he sits in the front seat or the back seat. And he proceeds to eat a drink without saying, تفضل. بخيل. How can you do that, Akhi? How can you not buy for everyone or at least share what you have? Because you're bakhil and you know this is your situation. What you do, Akhi, is you force yourself when you get out of the car to go into the place, buy for everybody, even though you don't want to. Buy for everybody. And don't be like the person who goes into the store, he's with his brother, so he buys a Mighty Malt and he buys a Super Malt. Everybody likes Mighty Malt better than Super Malt. So what he does is he puts the Super Malt that he doesn't want in his right hand, and he takes the Mighty Malt in the left hand because he wants it. So he says to his brother, تفضل, as if he's offering two, تفضل. Nah, don't do that. Put the Mighty Malt in your right hand and let him choose. Nah, hakada. If you are a person who you know, you and your wife, you have these problems. You know how the woman can make your blood literally boil. Literally boil. Where you become blind with rage. Some of us go as far as to strike them in front of our children. You know the feeling, I'm sure. When this happens, just say to yourself, I know I want to kill her. Literally, I want to kill her. But I'm going to change this situation. And just sit there. Don't do anything. The sister is emotional, high strung. When she hears some news, when the husband does something that she doesn't like, don't say anything. The Prophet tells us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you're angry, don't talk. How many people when they're angry curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The man came, the companion. He was angry, angry. The Prophet said to them, إني أعلمه كلمة إن قالها ذهب عنه الغضب. Verily I know I can teach him a word. If he said it, his anger would subside. It would go away. The Prophet told them to tell him, say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. So the companions took the statement of the Shaykh to the student. And they said, the Prophet ﷺ said to you to say this. The man, because he was so angry, he said, what, you think I'm crazy? He should have just took it easy. But he was that angry. If this is your character flaw or one of them, don't speak, Ya Abdullah. Take it easy. You'll find that suddenly, when you do this, without you even knowing, suddenly, after doing this consistently over a period of time, don't give yourself 2 days, 3 days, a week. Give it some time. Continuously practice this behavior. Suddenly, instead of being bakhil, you'll be kareem. Instead of being a man who gets angry, you'll be haleem. When your wife asks for something, you'll be more than happy to give her that thing that she wants. Suddenly, it just happens. It takes place. And this shows us, ikhwan, a very important secret in al-Islam. I'm going to let you brothers in on this secret. An extremely important secret in al-Islam. And that is the dual relationship between the heart and the limbs. And vice versa. The dual relationship and the effect of the limbs on the heart. I'll give you an example. This woman who comes into al-Islam, she puts on this hijab. See, because the sister, your wife, who gave you these children and who established her Islam from day one, she can't go around perpetrating the fraud like you, dressing like the kuffar. She can't do that. She has to make a statement right away. She has to put that hijab on right away. Unlike you, Abdullah, and you don't want to give any credit, as if there's no good in her. And she gave you children, and you treat her like she's an ummah, like she has been placed here to serve you, like you're her rabb. When that girl comes into al-Islam and she puts the hijab on without the face veil, but she doesn't allow anything to be shown except her face in her hand. Her neck is off limits when she comes outside. Her feet are off limits when she comes outside. She has to wear socks. Her feet have to be covered. She does this. At the beginning, she feels embarrassed. She feels when she goes out, everyone's looking at her. She feels out of place. She does not want to do it. Or the sister who her husband said, put on this niqab, this beautiful dress. Put it on. She doesn't have it in her heart, the desire to do it, but she's a good sister. She obeys her husband. She knows that she gets closer to Allah by obeying the husband. He can be the door of Jannah for that sister. That's how she looks at it. She doesn't allow shaitan to come to her and say, he's taking over your personality. So she doesn't have it in her heart. So she puts it on to obey her husband. Likewise, when she goes shopping, when she goes to her mother, her father, her relatives, her friends from the neighborhood, she's embarrassed at the beginning. After 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, she didn't do it because it was in her heart. She did it because her limbs were just doing it. After 1 year, that sister will not want to go without her hijab. She'll feel as if she's naked. She doesn't want to go without her hijab. If she went to get a job that's halal, a teacher in a nursery home, a teacher in an all-girls school, or something like this, not some factory working with a lot of kuffar men. When she goes to get the job, at the interview they say, you have to take off your niqab, or you have to take off your hijab. She says, wallahi, I'll never do that. Well, Rabbil Kaaba, I'll never do that. When at the beginning, she only did it because of her limbs. Because the limbs have an effect on the heart.
Didn't the Prophet tell you, brother sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مُرُوا أَبْنَاءَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءَ السَّبَعِ وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءَ عَشَرِ. Order your children to make salat when they are 7 years old. And hit them for not making it when they become 10. When the child is 7 years old, he doesn't know what he's doing. When he's 5 or 6 and he falls down in front of you and he makes sajda, he doesn't know what he's doing. But if he continues to do it, those limbs are going to have an effect on his heart. When he grows up, he'll know the importance of salat. You have a son who will never leave salat. Because the limbs affect the heart. Likewise, the Quran. Let him read the Quran, and he doesn't know. Let him memorize the Quran like a parrot. After that, those limbs are going to affect the heart. And vice versa. The hearts have an effect on the limbs. We do not believe in this deviance, this rhetoric, this interpretation and understanding that's foreign to the Islam, that the deeds are not part of Iman. Yahi, I was a person who used to do drugs. I used to go 3 and 4 days and not know where I was at. I had a friend, his name was Scotty Munch, we called him Chunky Black. Used to get so high, he would lose his fake teeth. That's how high we were. Now Allah guides me to Al-Islam, and you're going to come to me with this rhetoric. I used to believe Allah was a white man. Now you're going to come to me and tell me to take this mind and throw it in the garbage can. Get out of here with the rhetoric. Bring me the Quran and bring me the Sunnah. Isn't it enough for us? Wallahi, it's enough for us. Rhetoric. Well, this necessitates an iman and aqidah. Yeah, Islam is easy. The Bedouins couldn't read and write. This is the ummah that's ummiyah. We don't read and write. It ain't come to a rocket scientist. And iman necessitates the deed. You can't have no iman. You can't have iman without action. The Prophet ﷺ said, improving the point, that the heart has an effect on the limbs, just as the limbs have an effect on the heart. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدْ مُدْغَ إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Verily inside of your body is a mortal of flesh. If it is salih, if it is good, the rest of the body, your arms, your legs, your private parts, your eyes, your hearing, the rest of the body will be saliha, because it has an effect on it. And if it is fasida, there's no good, the rest of the body is going to be no good. So where do you get this from? You can be a mu'min and not make salah. The kafir. And the kafir. If you left salah because of this rhetoric, you're a kafir from two ways. You're a kafir because you have taken your ilah as your nafs. Your God is your nafs. And you're a kafir because you let salah go. And the Prophet ﷺ told us what? Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah. Man tarakaha faqad kafara. The difference between us and them is the salah. Whoever leaves it, he has disbelieved. And when I say you're a kafir, again we have to explain, because the rhetoric has made the brothers go astray. We're so quick to say kafir. These words of Al-Islam are very easy on the tongues of people, but look at the deeds and the actions of the people. And you know what you're doing in the privacy of your own homes, you and your wife. You know how far you are from Al-Islam. You know that you are not a pious man, but you want to pronounce takfir on everybody else. When I say that you're a kafir, I say you're a kafir because the Prophet described that as kufr. It's an action of kufr, no doubt. But whether or not you go outside of Islam, Allahu alam. I am not putting you outside of Al-Islam. Conditions have to be met. Conditions have to be fulfilled. Things have to be known before we can come to that conclusion. Contrary to what many people believe, we are not people who throw other Muslims outside of Al-Islam. This is a major sin. To throw someone out of this deen who doesn't belong outside of it, just as putting someone inside of the deen who doesn't belong in it, is a major sin. And with that, Ikhwan, we open the floor for any questions that you may have. If anything that was said today was right and exact, then that's from Rabbil Alameen. وحده لا شريك له فيه. And if anything was said that was wrong, he stand to be corrected. For verily it's from me and from Shaytan, and we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our own sins and the evil of our actions. So if you brothers have any questions pertaining to the issue, فَلْيَتَفَضَّلْ. If you want to write your question, you can write it and send it up or down, however you look at it and interpret it. No questions, Ikhwan? Fadda.
What advice can you give to the brothers here? Well, how to become attached to the Quran? They're not attached to it now.
Nah?
How can one become attached to the Quran?
The question by the brother is, how can one become attached to the Quran? First of all, Ikhwan, we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many, many names. Allah, our Lord, has more than 99 names. He has names that He has not taught the human beings, and He has names that He has informed us of. Those names and those characteristics of those names, we support them, and we believe in them, and we apply them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that is befitting His majesty and His greatness. So we say that Allah is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim with Rahmah, and on and on and on. Of the names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of is that He is Al-Kareem, the most generous. Allah is the most generous in that He has given us this air without making a distinction between the muttaqi and the fasiq, the Muslim and the kafir, the prophet and the jinn. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given all of us this free air from the time of Adam until now. Al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds up this earth without the help of anyone. He holds up this roof as opposed to letting it fall on us and smashing us, even though we deserve to be smashed. He's Al-Kareem, most generous. He subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every single one of us our rizq for today. Who's sitting here now hungry when he has to almost lay down to make his hunger subside? No one. And Allahu A'lam. Allah protects our families. He is Al-Kareem. From one of the most clearest proof of His generosity is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, infinite mercy unto us, He has chosen to send down to us 6,236 ayahs of His speech. Of His speech, tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's not the speech of another human being who just talks and his speech can be taken and rejected. It could be explained the way you want to explain it. It's open for many interpretations. La. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that mercy has done that for us, it only makes sense for the Abdullah and the Amatullah to try to connect themselves with this Quran. Wallahi innahu la amrun ajeeb. It's a strange affair. But I hear people who say things like, they talk about the bigger sciences and the bigger knowledges of Al-Islam, and they will not concern themselves with memorizing the last 10 ayahs of the Quran. You all know of a group of brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase all of us and in guidance. This group of brothers is Jama'ah. They concern themselves with reading and memorizing the last 10 ayahs of the Quran. Here you have a brother criticizing that, even though he hasn't done it. And he says, for him to do it, it's an innovation because he'll be copying those people. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is the type of understanding and thinking that we have. The man says, I'm not going to go to Hajj, the fifth pillar of Islam, because that oppressive government is over there. Your Hajj is a pillar of your Islam, Ya Abdullah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amin. Alaykum anfusukum. You're responsible for your own soul. So, we are continuously encouraging the brothers to reconnect themselves with this Quran, to begin to learn the Quran, the tajweed of the Quran, studying Arabic language, something that is within your reach and your ability starting today. And you're going to leave that and jump over the bridge
that hasn't even been built yet, and you're going to jump anyway, and tell me to jump with you. Wallahi, I'm not jumping with you, akhi. Going to try to hold you back and say, don't jump in the water. There are people here who know Arabic, and this kalam uwajjihuhu ila ikhwan al-arab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kafaddalakum bihadihi al-lughah al-mubarakah. اللغة التي اختارها لأن ينزل آخر الكتاب على البشر وأنتم تبخلون علينا ألا ترون يا إخوان هؤلاء الشباب متعطشين لمعرفة الإسلام ما لك لا تذهب إلى كتاب من كثير تلخص لهم هذه السور القصيرة تعلموهم دينهم اللغة لغتكم لا تبخلون عليهم. The Brotherhood of Al-Islam today has taken on a different face of the Brotherhood of Al-Islam yesterday. So now we find the Shabab running around, hitting the walls. Everyone has his own agenda, his own program, and the things that are right in front of you are being left. So we encourage these brothers, we encourage all of you to get into some Arabic classes, to get into some Quran recitation classes, and to apply this Quran and this Sunnah and this Islam according to your ability. Those of you who can jump over the bridge, or you really think you can jump on the bridge, then do that. But don't be a fitna for the other people who want to do other than that. It's not necessary all of this ikhtilaf, all of this hatred and rancor for no reason other than kullu hizbin bima ladayhi farihun. How do we approach a brother to attempt to advise him when we know that this brother will react with hostility or bad character? Also, where in the Quran does it say not to speak over recitation of the, I don't know, I think that's the kitab, concerning the person who wants to stop the munkar? You know, that issue of giving da'wah needs to be addressed in a darf all by itself, and that we need to know the dawabat and the shurut of ordering with what is good and preventing what is evil. But one of the things that we would suffice to say, and it's extremely important, Ya Abdullah, is that when you want to order that which is good and you have a feeling that this person is going to respond with hostility, we need to understand that Al-Islam has shown us from the Quran and from the Sunnah that the asl in giving da'wah, or the origin of giving da'wah, is that you are to have a rizq and rahmah. When you begin to give da'wah, you are supposed to give it first and foremost with rizq and with rahmah, and not opposite. The first thing is shiddah, with the Muslim or the Kafir. The shiddah comes after so many other things. The jihad isn't right away. All the time, the dawah, the asl of the dawah is a risk, so that you do not provoke a response. And this is a problem with many of us. When we want to change the thing, we want to change it for our own nafs, so we provoke the person. If you came to a man with good asloob, a good methodology, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة وموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. Call to the way of your Lord with hikmah, wisdom. Wisdom meaning know when to be shadeed, know when not to be shadeed, know when to speak, know when not to speak, know what's the best methodology applicable, know the person's condition. All of that encompasses hikmah. When you do this and you find the person's response, this is ma'alika. Their response is not your responsibility. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ. Not the responsibility of the messenger except to relay the message. You relay the message in the best way, hoping that the brother or the sister will take it, and then you've done what is on you. But the warning to the brothers, those brothers who are provocative, who come to the people and they say to them, the Quran and the Sunnah, the Quran and the Sunnah, in a way where they don't take into consideration this person's growth and development, this person's understanding. And as a result of that, they know that the person is going to respond in a negative way. And then they turn around and say, you didn't want al-Islam. The man is thirsty, and you give him the water, and you ask him, and you tease him, you want the water? You really want it? You want the water? And then you throw it in his face. And then when he says something back to you, because you disrespected him by splashing the water in his face, in front of Allah's creation, when he says something back to you, you say, you're a muqtadi, you don't want Islam, you're an enemy of the Quran and the Sunnah. Fahakadi Abdullah. So the asl is a risk to these thoughts to be kind. If the people reject it, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِ مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْدِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You do not guide those who you love, but Allah guides those who He wills. The brother over there. There was a brother who had his hand up over there before.
I'd like to ask a question about how could we advise, or what do you understand by this ayah where Allah points out and reveals that Khidr says Musa, كَيْفَ تَسْبِرُوا عَلَى مَا لَمْ وَحِفْتُكْ بِهِ الْخُبَرَ. How could we, what understanding, you know, do you get from this, and how could we implement and benefit from this ayah?
As for the ayah, كَيْفَ تَصْبِرُوا عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِدْ بِهِ خُبْرًا, the meaning of it is how Khidr is asking Musa alayhima salatu wassalam, how are you going to be patient, O Musa, with that which you have no knowledge about? These things that I'm doing, where I'm cutting the boy's head off, or as one narration said, grabbing his head and snatching it, severing it from his body, what I did with the boat, what I did with the treasure, and all of this thing that you have no way of knowing, how can you be patient with it? Because based upon the sharia that you have and the understanding that you have, what Allah has given you from knowledge, what I'm doing in, as it relates to you, is from the unseen, and it goes against your sharia, killing someone without having the argument established against him, destroying people's property for no apparent reason whatsoever, doing good to a group of people who treated you evilly by not doing the least that they can do for the dhaif, giving the dhaif the hospitality that is his right in all cultures. So as it relates to you, Musa, you can't have patience with this. Likewise, when a man is studying under a sheikh, this is one of the reasons why the ulama of al-Islam used to tell those who taught the people to teach the people the small knowledge before the big knowledge. Because if you teach them the big knowledge, meaning that knowledge that's more difficult for them to understand and apprehend, you're going to pose a fitna for those people. You're going to make a fitna for those people. So that's the narration or the tafsir that Ibn Kathir gives around that, what I just said. And I just have to warn you, brothers, of Musa and Khidr. The group of Muslims who again want us to take our aql, you know, we have to always stay away from the extreme. Some people want to take the rationale or the aql and they want to make it the focal point. That's an extreme. Your aql should be subservient to the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. And then we have the other extremity of the people who want to take the aql and to bury it and not to use it. They want to say that they're making tawakkul ala Allah by just sitting there. They want to take the story of Musa and Khidr and come up with all types of conclusion that after seeing it, at the end of it, it has a soul that's non-Islamic. No one with any mind will believe in that stuff. You have to be careful of the interpretations that people give to you concerning Khidr and Musa. For an example, they'll tell you, this is proof that you have to have taqlid, a madhhab, Khidr and Musa. And they'll take my statement about taking a sheikh and saying you have to have a madhhab. And I didn't say that. And I didn't say that you have to have a madhhab. When, this is just an example, when this surah came down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sahabas heard it and read it and understood it, we don't see them developing any madhhab. So the understanding for them at that time should be the understanding for us today concerning these ayahs. And don't you, anyone else, not you.
Don't anyone come up with a new interpretation. So there's a famous scholar of Islam by the name of Waqi' ibn Jarrah. Tremendous scholar in Islam. He said a famous statement. From many of his statements, he said, "Man yatlab hadha al-hadith kama ja'a fahuwa sahibu sunnah. Wa man yatlabahu liyuqawwiya bihi ra'yahu fahuwa sahibu bid'ah." Whoever goes after this knowledge, this hadith, he goes after the hadith and the Quran as it has come, whether it's for him or against him, he takes it the way they understood it. He said this person is a person of the sunnah. And whoever goes after this knowledge, the Quran and the sunnah, so as to strengthen what they believe, he is a person of innovation. So don't take Khidr al-Musa and tell me what some groups are saying, whether it's the madhab, whether it's following the sheikh to the point where I can put my wife, who's not pregnant yet, in with the sheikh in a dark room so he can do with her whatever he wants, did she come out pregnant? Don't tell me that. So you brothers who are new to al-Islam, we warn you, be patient of the interpretations of the people. What do you have to say? My heart cries out because everything you have said, I have seen happening while with my own eyes. Ever since I came into Islam, it has affected me. So it has affected me. So from personal experience as well as that I have stopped practicing Islam the way I did when I first started. And still now my heart is not in it. I see the Muslims abundant, and I feel like walking away. But I don't know if the path I walk away to will be correct. I don't want to leave Islam. What can I do? First of all, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give this person the thabat on al-Islam, and we all should continuously ask our Lord to give us thabat, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us in an authentic hadith, "Inna qulub al-ibad bayna usbi'i al-Rahman yuqallibuha kayfa yasha." Verily the hearts of the servants, all of us, are between the two fingers of Ar-Rahman, because Ar-Rahman has two fingers. He changes them however he chooses. So that's why Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the dua that he used to make when he used to make sajda was, "Allahumma ya muqallibul qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deen." Oh Allah, the turn of the heart, establish my heart on the deen. Muslim today, kafir tomorrow. You all know the hadith of Mas'ud, Ibn Abdullah bin Mas'ud, "Inna ahadukum yujma'u khalqahu fi batni ummihi 40 layla." Verily one of you people, your creation is brought in the stomach of his mother 40 days. And then the whole hadith, and then at the end, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Verily one of you would do the deeds of a man from paradise, and then what is written on him overtakes him, and then he becomes an armed fan from the paradise, then it overtakes him, and he starts doing the deeds of the people of the hellfire, and he enters into, and vice versa." So we all should ask Allah for the sabbat for this person and from ourselves. As for the advice that we give to this person who seems to be a sister, we would advise the person to get some companions who are firmly established on al-Islam. People who, when you are around them, they remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who, when you are around them, they help you to be a better Muslim. People who are balanced and have sense in al-Islam. They don't make things too difficult upon the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're serious about al-Islam. Because as we said, "Al-tuyur ala ashkariha taqa." Birds of a feather flock together. Be with those sisters who are going to strengthen you and your iman. And never forget that the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forever present with this Quran. And compare your problems with the problems of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he orders us to do when we are faced with trials and tribulations. He grew up as an orphan. He lost his wife. He lost his children. His companions were killed. He was thrown out of Mecca.